Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Brother T, for the best hour radio broadcast here on blogtalkradio.com. And if you'd like to find our channel, you can also do a search on the best hour, and you can also do a search or just type in blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, CourseMastery. Also, you can access links to this broadcast, so you can hear it on your cell phone. You can kind of follow along and share comments or thoughts if you want to on my Facebook page, which is Course Mastery. So that would be facebook.com/Course Mastery. Glad to be with you today. It is Saturday, February 8th, and we're going to be discussing Lesson 39, My Holiness is My Salvation. So let's jump in today and see what we can learn from our brother Jesus in this amazing teaching called A Course in Miracles. My Holiness is My Salvation. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? Like the text for which this workbook was written, the ideas which are used for the exercises are very simple, very clear, and totally unambiguous. We are not concerned with intellectual feats nor logical toys. We're dealing only in the very obvious, which has been overlooked in the clouds of complexity in which you think you think. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? This is not difficult. Surely, the hesitation you might feel in answering it is not due to the ambiguity of the question. But do you believe that guilt is hell? If you did, you'd see at once how direct and simple this text is, and you would not need a workbook at all. No one needs practice to gain what is already his. We've already said that your holiness is the salvation of the world. What about your own salvation? You cannot give what you do not have. A savior must be saved. How else can he teach salvation? Today's exercises will apply to you alone, recognizing that your salvation is crucial to the salvation of the world. As you apply the exercises to your own world, the whole world stands to benefit. Your holiness is the answer to every question that was ever asked, is being asked now, or will be asked in the future. Your holiness means the end of guilt, and therefore the end of hell. Your holiness is the salvation of the world and your own. How could you, to whom your holiness belongs, be excluded from it? God does not know unholiness. Can it be he does not know his son? A full 5 minutes are urged for the four longer practice periods for today. Longer and more frequent practice sessions are encouraged. If you want to exceed the minimum requirements, more rather than longer sessions are recommended, although both are encouraged. Begin the practice periods as usual by repeating today's idea to yourself. My holiness is my salvation. Then, with closed eyes, search out your unloving thoughts in whatever form they appear. Uneasiness, depression, anger, fear, worry, attack, insecurity, and so on. Whatever form they take, they are unloving and therefore fearful. And so it is from them that you need to be saved. Specific situations, events, or personalities that you associate with unloving thoughts of any kind are suitable subjects for today's exercises. It is imperative for your own salvation that you see them differently. And it's your blessing on them that will save you and give you vision, slowly without conscious selection and without undue emphasis on any one in particular. Search your mind for every thought that stands between you and your salvation. Apply the idea for today to each one of them in this way. My unloving thoughts about whatever you fill in the blank there with are keeping me in hell. My holiness is my salvation. You may find these sessions easier if you intersperse the application with several short periods during which you can merely repeat today's idea to yourself slowly a few times. You may also find that it's helpful to include a few short intervals in which you just relax and don't seem to be thinking of anything. Sustained concentration is very difficult at first. It'll become much easier as your mind becomes more disciplined and less distractible. Meanwhile, you should feel free to introduce variety into your practice periods in whatever form appeals to you. Do not, however, change the idea itself in varying the method of applying it. However you elect to use it, the idea should be stated so that its meaning remains that your holiness is your salvation. End each practice period by repeating the idea in its original form once more and adding, if guilt is hell, what is its opposite? In the shorter applications, which should be made some 3 or 4 times an hour, and more if possible, you might ask yourself this question, repeat today's idea, or preferably both. If temptations arise, a particularly helpful form of this idea is, my holiness is my salvation from this. My holiness is my salvation. Let's take a good deep breath and pause for just 1 second as we consider this very valuable lesson. Well, we've certainly considered a lot of application to this idea of our holiness. It points to our perfection. And I've shared a saying with you that I've shared with you many times at this point in our discussions here in the workbook lessons is that you're perfect. Neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. We could shift that a little bit and say, you are holy. Neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And must see yourself therefrom. You are holy. And it's the recognition of your holiness that is your salvation. And it is indeed, as he says, in this lesson and the lessons of our most recent time together, that your holiness is the salvation of the world. And you cannot be separate from that. And I love how he shares in this lesson that you cannot give what you have been unwilling to receive. So do you believe that you're holy? Is that possible for you to accept that you are the salvation of the world? Well, I can tell you, when I first encountered these lessons, this was such a radical departure from how I had considered myself to be, what I considered myself to be based on the life that I had lived up to that point in my journey of awakening. I thought it to be absolutely impossible. And my discovery has been that the self, and we talk about lots of selves here, don't we? The self that I used to believe that I was and still attempts to cause me to be entranced in that belief from time to time based on what's going on in the world and how I react rather than respond. And we talked about that yesterday as an option. Just a way of using a little shift of language to help ourselves to remember, to respond, joined in unity and relationship with our higher self, instead of reacting as a separate, alone person, ego, body-mind self. That body-mind self is not capable of grasping holiness. And what have we defined our miracles as now, right? Let's go back to this now. The miracle is a sudden shift of perception. It's not the self that says the me self, that keeps claiming itself to be me, I am me, personality self, that self cannot grasp even the meaning of love, the meaning of reality, the meaning of life. It has no conscious knowing of the God self, the higher self, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, the true self that you are. That is the holy you, the self that is the child of God, the self that is perfect, the self that is holy, the self that is real. And so when you realize and have a realization, a union, a joining, a communion with that self, and it once appears to be, if you will, I'll say, thoughts that are not your thoughts. And so it appears that maybe there's a dialogue, a potential for dialogue, and we begin to have a discussion. But as that voice, I'm sure, will let you know in due course, ultimately, you must realize that it is you. It is the real you, but not the ego you, not the personality you, not the quote-unquote human self. Not that we would discard that self. In fact, we ultimately embrace that small self, just like we embrace the dreams that we had last night when we wake up. We remember the dream, or as much of it as is available to us at that moment as we're awakening. We kind of see the drama for what's happening. We realize that it's just an illusion. We realize that we're safe and home in bed. We realize that that was never really who we were. We don't get angry at that self for having an illusion of separation. We don't get angry at the sleeping self for not recognizing that we're safe and home in bed. There's no intention of fixing that self. There's nothing to fix. It was an illusory state of mind, an illusory state of consciousness, just a sliver of consciousness that was incapable of even understanding the life that we're living today as the awakened human self in form. The holy aspect of God that is you is nothing more than your right mind. It is your true self. And as we begin to join in union and relationship with that self by evolving our consciousness, and how we do that is to beginning to ignore the one thing that the ego cannot defend itself against, is our ignoring it. As we begin to ignore the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of guilt, the thoughts of insanity of the world, the construct of illusion that appears to be absolutely real, but yes, is nothing more than a dream, literally, that we all are kind of sharing as an experience, if you will, because indeed we are. All of us as individuated aspects of the Christ mind, Christ consciousness, keeping this illusory experience, maintaining it, I guess would be the word, sustaining it as our experience and form, we can begin to ignore it. It's kind of like the saying, you know, get thee behind me. I am no longer listening to the voice of fear. I'm no longer tuned into. I'm joined in mind with the voice of love, the voice for God, the voice of truth, the capital F friend, the capital G guy, the capital T teacher, capital V voice for God. That is you. That is how we begin to allow ourselves to know ourselves as holy, as perfect, as an extension of our source, that source being God, being the Father, the Mother, Father, God, being the capital U universe, the capital S source, whatever we label we want to try to use, these words being symbols of symbols, that we're just trying to have a means of communication with ourselves and with others about who and what we are and who and what we are in relationship with this God self. But that is the perfect aspect of you that, again, is ultimately what we begin to realize as is us, if you will.
I'm back with you. I apologize. I lost my connection. Technical difficulties.
So where we were is that we were discussing you
in union.
And that's the blessing that we offer the world. That is who and what you are. If guilt is hell, what is its opposite? Your holiness is the answer to every question that was ever asked, is being asked now, or will be asked in the future. Your holiness means the end of guilt and therefore the end of hell. Your holiness is the salvation of the world and your own. How could you, to whom your holiness belongs, be excluded from it? God does not know unholiness. Can it be he, God, does not know his child, his daughter, his son? Of course not. It was once told to me by one of my mentors that God chooses not to dream. So the Holy Spirit is the capital V voice for God, almost like an intermediary that we might see as the potential for a means of communicating through our right mind or communicating through the Holy Spirit with God. But God chooses not to dream. The point that I'm trying to emphasize is that God does not see unholiness. I use the example that when my daughter was young, as an example, let's say she was taking a nap or asleep, and I noticed that she's just thrashing around and that she's actually having a nightmare. Well, there are a couple of things at play here. She's asleep, number one, which means we're not joined in mind. We're not communicating. We're not expressing and experiencing each other in a conscious way. She's like tuned out. She's asleep. And so I can talk, I can speak, but she's not hearing what I'm saying. And she's having an experience, if you will, that she's created out of her own imagination, a dream, right? A dreamscape of dramas, believing herself to be a body, believing herself to having some drama, whatever it might be, some kind of experience with things or people in her dream. And so she's not even conscious that I'm there in physical form. She's not conscious that she's safe at home, asleep, and that there's nothing whatsoever to be afraid of. She's having a dream. Now, my choice could be to, let's say I had the choice, that I could be to, okay, I'm going to go in there and I can join her in her dream and I can chase away the bad guy. I can cure the sickness. I could protect and defend from some attack. I could slay the dragon. I could do all of those things because I would be consciously awake in her dream, seeing her dream for what it is and knowing that it's just a dream and I just came in here to kind of fix everything for you. Well, even if I could do that, would I do that? No. Because the dream is her dream. Whatever she's experiencing is her imagination. It's literally a projection of her mind. What I can do, though, that makes a lot more sense, is to simply tell her, wake up. Wake up from the illusion that you've created, because the illusion is not real. The dragon is not real. The danger is not real. The things that you think you are, even the body itself, is not real. Not in reality, it's a construct of your imagination. And it seems that when we wake up from a dream, we can absolutely see the illusion for what it is, no question. We can see the illusion for what it is. We know what's going on. Within a fraction of a second, we realize that it's just illusion. It doesn't really matter. Etc., etc. And we let it go. But we wouldn't go into somebody else's dream and fix it, and we certainly don't go back into our dream tonight if we remembered it and said, oh, I'm going to go back in there and fix that dream. I'm going to get even with that person that was scaring me or attacking me or being a bad actor in my dream last night. I'll go back in there tonight and I'll get even. I have a vengeance or a grievance. I'm holding a vengeance or a grievance against somebody in my dream that I had last night. Or maybe even judging myself to be guilty because I did something that I wouldn't normally do or would think that would be a bad thing to do, et cetera, et cetera. No, we would just say, it's just illusion, that just to be awakened, awake from the dream. So the higher self, if you will, is tapping you on the shoulder saying, wake up, wake up. A Course in Miracles, our brother Jesus is tapping us on the shoulder in a loving and embracing way and simply saying, I'm showing you the illusion of the dream that you've created out of nothing, out of your imagination, and it is not real. And God chooses not to dream, not to get in the dream, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, is letting go, if you will, of the things that are not true and helping you to see the things that are real about your experience as being expressing yourself in form. And yes, there are moments of love, and you know it. And there are moments of you joining with your brothers and sisters consciously in the energy and connection of love. Love is real. It's eternal. It's indestructible. It needs no defense. As Christ, if you will, in perfect safety, we release all tension. We realize, as Buddha said, I am the dreamer of the dream. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to protect. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't stand for integrity if a child were, someone were tempted to harm a child or, a dear one or, our pets or whatever. In other words, we, knowing that we cannot be attacked and that we are invulnerable, we would just simply let it go. We wouldn't be worried about personal destruction. We would be standing up for integrity. And in a way, I would suggest that that's what Jesus was doing when he orchestrated, if you'll allow me to say it that way, the crucifixion. That was his last obstacle to the awareness of the perfect presence of love, and he was also demonstrating to us that the dream is not real. And he transcended it and then was able to project his image, if you will, back into the dream, so to speak, to guide us further and to guide his disciples. There were some appearances after the crucifixion that literally validated that the body's not real. Your holiness is your salvation. So today we're going to work a full 5 minutes for 4 practice periods and more if we can get those in. And we can have some shorter practice periods. And we're just going to continue to remind ourselves that there, if I can say it this way, that there is an aspect within us at the very center of our being that is our true self. And the holiness of that true self is absolutely our salvation. Being in communion, being in connection, being joined with that self is our salvation. So we do the work, my brothers and sisters. And I will be back with you tomorrow. And I look forward to our next discussion. God bless. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I sin.